well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad with me on the program today. We're going to be talking with Sam Paredes from Gun Owners of California about Kamala Harris's time in state politics and in local politics. Remember, before she was vice president, she was U.S. Senator, the junior senator from California. Before she was the junior senator from California, she was the attorney general of the state of California. Before that, she was the district attorney in San Francisco, California. So we're going to get into her record as the DA and as the AG here in just a moment. Before we do that, though, let's talk about this for a second. Economists are warning us about massive tax hikes that could hit your IRA and 401k hard. With inflation rising and global uncertainty, it is no wonder that central banks and many Americans are turning to gold. If you haven't thought about gold yet, now's the time. Trust Priority Gold to help you diversify your savings with gold and silver. Just text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD for a free gold info guide and see if you qualify for free shipping and storage. Experts agree, physical gold is one of the best ways to fortify your savings. Act now to get your portfolio working for you while the market's golden. Text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD to learn more. That's GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD. All right, so before we get into our conversation with Sam Paredes, just a reminder that Kamala Harris was attorney general in California between 2011 and 2017. So that was that time period where the Supreme Court didn't hear any Second Amendment cases. You know, Heller was decided 2008. McDonnell was decided in 2010. And then we didn't get the Bruin decision until, 2022, right? So there was a gap of about 12 years where there wasn't a lot of action at the Supreme Court level anyway, when it comes to the Second Amendment. So the paper trail for Kamala Harris in terms of, Supreme Court amicus briefs, things of that nature, is slim to none. Although Harris was the district attorney in San Francisco in 2008 when the Supreme Court took up D.C.'s ban on handguns in D.C. versus Heller. Now, there were a lot of amicus briefs filed in that case, including a brief filed by a number of district attorneys around the country. The brief, I think, was authored. Let me make sure that I get the specific author. It was authored by, Kamala Harris's name is actually the first one on that on that amicus brief. Now that I'm looking at it, you've got the law professors who were the counsel, but the Honorable Kamala Harris and Michael A. Troncosi from the Office of the District Attorney, City and County of San Francisco, they were the first ones on this amicus brief filed in support of DC's handgun ban back in 2008. And this is a part of that amicus brief. The district attorneys respectfully submit that the three DC code provisions at issue in this appeal do not violate the Second Amendment, thus necessitating a reversal of the lower court's decision. Now, what were those ordinances in question? Well, one was a ban on the sale and possession of handguns in the District of Columbia. Unless you had purchased and possessed and registered your handgun prior to the district's ban taking effect in 1977, you could not own a handgun in the District of Columbia. One of the other provisions required you to store your firearm locked and unloaded, ammunition stored separately. And I believe not only did you have to have that gun locked and unloaded, I believe it had to be disassembled in your home, rendering it, again, useless for self-defense in the home. This is what Kamala Harris said was constitutional. This is what she said was appropriate. These are the ordinances she said should remain in place, despite what at that point the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals had held and what the Supreme Court would eventually hold, that these ordinances did, in fact, violate the Second Amendment. According to Kamala Harris, no, a ban on handguns did not violate the Second Amendment, requiring you to store your firearm in a way that it was inoperable for self-defense in the home didn't violate your right to keep and bear arms, according to Kamala Harris. Now, this amicus brief said the DAs do not focus on the reasons for the reversal of the lower court decision. Instead, they say they urge the court to consider the potentially negative, unintended, and wholly unnecessary consequences of an affirming opinion that would allow people to possess a firearm in their home to use in self-defense. In short, Harris said, an affirmance could inadvertently call into question the well-settled Second Amendment principles under which countless state and local criminal firearm laws have been upheld by the courts nationwide. In other words, to recognize that we, the people, have an individual right to keep and bear arms. That's what she was opposed to. That's the brief that she signed on to in 2008. And again, that's just an example of the long history of anti-gun, anti-Second Amendment, anti-civil rights positions that Kamala Harris has taken as an elected official. Let's learn more from Sam Paredes with Gun Owners of California. Take a look and a listen. Sam, thanks so much for coming on the show, sir. It is great to see you today.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. It's great to see you, and let's have some fun today talking about a real interesting character.
Yeah, this might be the only fun that we have here, because honestly, you know, personally, I am glad to see Joe Biden step down. I frankly wonder why it is that he is capable of being the president, but not capable of being a presidential candidate. I'm still concerned about that, but whatever. You know, the Democrats have coalesced around the candidacy of Kamala Harris. And, you know, look, I mean, she's got an extensive history of gun control while in the White House, right? She's ostensibly the head of the White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention. But her animosity towards gun owners and towards the Second Amendment, that didn't just come to life whenever she was named Biden's running mate. I mean, she has a long history of gun control activism in the state of California, as you well know, and hopefully are able to enlighten our viewers about.
Sure. Kamala Harris, the word salad queen, has been hate for the Second Amendment is deep in her DNA. It is a part of her chromosomal makeup. When she was the district attorney of the city of San Francisco, she was anti-gun, didn't believe anybody should own guns. She was so vehement about it. She was, to put it mildly, Cam, she was pro-criminal. She opposed the death penalty against for a convicted, violent, nasty cop killer. And she opposed the death penalty across the board. She earned her chops hating guns, loving criminals, letting them out loose in our societies, being a hardcore progressive leftist. She graduated to the Attorney General's office in the state of California. And you want to talk about somebody with an extreme amount of hypocrisy, it would be her. She liked to hire LAPD protection units to come up and protect her when she was at places like the San Francisco Pride Parade. Now, I didn't know that the LAPD had tens of thousands of dollars to fly police protective teams up to San Francisco to protect Kamala Harris, who had access to all kinds of other protective teams. I don't know if she had some special relationship with them or something like that, but it happened multiple times. It was just hypocritical. So, okay for me, but not for thee. You know, I'm going to have the best of the best out here with guns protecting me. But no. You are not allowed. You should not be allowed to have guns to protect yourselves and your family. So, it is quite a checkered past.
Absolutely.
She has put the absolute stamp of anti-Second Amendment policy driven energy on her career.
You know, and that continued when she was the attorney general. I mean, obviously Rob Bonta has, you know, defended all of California's gun control laws, but Harris did the same thing when she was the attorney general. Right. I mean, every challenge to every statute there in California that was filed when she was the attorney general, you could say she had the obligation to defend these laws, but You know, we actually did see a time when Rob Bonta said to Gavin Newsom, hey, listen, you've gone too far. I'm not going to defend this in court. Kamala Harris never had that moment, did she? Never had that moment where she said, okay, wait. This goes too far. I can't defend this. She defended the indefensible the entire time she was attorney general.
Absolutely. She, every single piece of anti-gun, anti-Second Amendment legislation, she supported. And as the attorney general, you're supposed to be the legal adult in the room saying, okay, this passes legal muster, this doesn't. This follows the Constitution, this doesn't, and advise the legislature. Of course, the legislature has their own legislative council advising them, but the Attorney General's responsibility, as she swore, is to defend the Constitution of the United States. Well, that was kind of like the Pirate's Code, more of a suggestion, not a real commitment to follow through on that. And again, her duplicity and hypocrisy continued. You know, under Kamala Harris, we had two really bad propositions, Proposition 47 and Proposition 57. They were anti-gun. They were absolutely pro-criminal. It was decriminalizing things that have been felonies in the state of California forever, reducing them to misdemeanors, releasing people out of prison, including those that have committed violent crimes with guns, and reducing the charges for the stealing of a gun. You know, if the gun wasn't worth more than $950 when it was stolen, it's not a felony. It's a misdemeanor. So it was just egregious what she did. And then, get this. This is what she titled this pro-criminal. As the attorney general, they get to decide what the title is for all of the initiatives, the propositions in California. This was called the Safe Neighborhoods and Schools Act.
And it's reducing all of these crimes, right? Taking felonies, turning them into misdemeanors. And Sam, listen, I'm 3,000 miles away. I do my best to try to keep up with what's going on in California, but isn't there a referendum on the ballot this year that would repeal a lot of the measures of Prop 47?
You are absolutely correct, Cam. As a matter of fact, many of the major provisions of Prop 47 will be repealed by this proposition that the Californians will be able to vote on this year. And the legislature was turning over backwards to try to come up with a proposal through the legislative process with a poison pill, saying that if the voters pass this revision of Prop 47, it would be null and void if their bill, got more votes than it. So they were doing everything they could, but they finally realized we have gone so far on the pro-criminal side that even our own supporters are starting to reject us. And this is a very dangerous thing for a lot of the moderate Democrats, which I use that term very loosely, but that was the potential for a lot of those people losing their seats. And they said, we're not going to support this thing. You know, you steal a gun, you go to jail. It's in California, Cammy, people need to understand that if you commit a misdemeanor, you're arrested, you're taken in, you're booked, they do all of that stuff, and then they let you go. They let you go and go, please, we're going to wipe out all of the wants and warrants that are on your record. We're going to put you back on the streets, and please show up at your next court hearing.
Yeah.
And then if they don't and they do something again, they get caught. The same thing goes over.
Right.
People don't spend any time in jail and certainly not in prison anymore in California. We've got, I think at the last count, 11 prisons that have been emptied in the state of California. And the number is growing. Kamala does not want to send bad people to prison. Except for us.
Right.
Kamala considers those of us who are gun owners as the bad people, and she'd be happy to send us to jail.
And even when it comes to gun confiscation, Sam, so California has this unique program, the Armed Prohibited Person System, right? The APPS system. So if you're convicted of a felony, or let's say you're adjudicated as mentally ill, now you can no longer possess a firearm. But the state of California believes that you still do, right? Then you get put on this list. And back, I was doing a little bit of research back when Kamala Harris was, I think, just named Attorney General. Maybe it was her first year. The backlog of names was like 20,000 people, right? Where the state of California says, yep, we think this is an armed prohibited person. I think they've got a gun. They could go out and get those guns. They haven't, right? That backlog was 20,000 names long. There was, I believe, a one-time appropriation of something like $25 million to try to clear that backlog. And Kamala Harris said, well, we need more. We need an additional $5 million a year so we can, you know, wipe out this backlog and keep track. I checked yesterday, and as of 2023, Sam, that backlog is now 23,000 names long. So, I think we can point to Rob Bonta, who is now the Attorney General, but I think we also have to point to Kamala Harris and say, what were they doing? Were they too busy going after people like you and other legal gun owners in California to go and, you know, try to take the guns away from people who aren't allowed to possess them? Is there a failure in the database? At what? It seems to me like this is another example of Kamala Harris taking this very progressive approach. I mean, she might have said, oh, yeah, we want to clear this backlog, but she didn't.
Come close, Cam. You know, they got the first appropriation of approximately $25 million in order to hire a whole bunch of officers to be able to go out and check on people who ostensibly have been adjudicated with a disqualifying crime, whether it was a violent misdemeanor or a felony. Or they were mentally adjudicated as mentally deficient, adjudicated as mentally deficient. And, you know, the easiest thing would have been for them to pick up the phones and call these people and say, hey, this is the Department of Justice. We want to know what you did with the guns that we show that you had purchased over time. Okay, thank you. No, they tried to go out and they would show up at 2 o'clock in the morning, people's houses, and knock on their house and says, where's the gun? Where's your gun? We're coming in without any warrants. No judge would issue a warrant on this thing. So they would do all of the usual police tricks of lights on in the middle of the night, the whole neighborhood knowing that they're at your house with folks dressed up in full SWAT kit. And then they would show up and say, no, I got rid of those guns when the court told me to get rid of them. And so tens of thousands, millions of dollars are wasted. As a matter of fact, one of the problems they have with the program is that many of the enforcement officers that they hire, they start the job and say, you know what? This is Bravo Sierra. We are infringing on people's rights. It doesn't matter if they have a record or not. We are being asked to do things that are just not right. So they leave the unit. They go to the highway patrol. They go to be a police officer. And they prefer to be a police officer in some podunk community in the state than to be a part of this APPS unit where, you know, every day they don their SWAT kit and jump into black SUVs and go and harass people in neighborhoods when they don't do their simple homework. Kamala Harris has done nothing to go after criminals, known criminals, identified criminals, or those that are more recently caught in the commission of a crime. She doesn't have a problem with the crimes that we're seeing in our department stores, where the swarm crimes and her actions speak louder than words. If America wants a leader who is going to put violent criminals on the streets from sea to shining sea, Kamala is your candidate. There's no question. That's what she's done her entire career.
Well, Sam, listen, I appreciate you giving us a little bit of your insight about your experience with Kamala Harris. It sounds to me like not a fan. Again, unless you want to Californicate the rest of the country with Harris's policies. There is a choice available this November. Sam, listen, again, I really appreciate your time and your insight. I hope that you'll come back again very, very soon, because it has been far too long. And Gun Owners of California, we were talking off air. You guys are doing great work, involved in how many, over two dozen lawsuits right now?
I think actively we're involved in about 26 lawsuits. And over the last couple of years since Heller, we're involved in over 60 lawsuits with partnering with everybody, GOA, GOF, SAF, FPC, CRPA, even NRA. But it's a great time to be a supporter of the Second Amendment. Even though we see all of these terrible things in front of us, we are winning, and we're only winning because we're engaged. And we have people like you that can share the word to people to encourage them to get engaged. And for that, Cam, I always thank you.
I appreciate that very much. And by the way, you don't have to be a Californian to belong to Gun Owners of California. If you want to help these groups, you know, fight the fight before these bad bills and bad laws get to your state, that's a great way, actually, to do so, to show your support for these gun owners out in California. What's the website for Gun Owners of California, folks do want to join?
It's gunownersca.com, www.gunownersca.com. As I always say, California either affects or infects the rest of the country, and you can help us to be the immunization to prevent it from doing some more infecting out there.
There you go. Sam, thanks again for joining me on the program, sir. Look forward to doing this again very soon.
Thanks, Cam. God bless you.
My thanks to Sam for joining us on the show today, and I am looking forward to having him back again here very soon. All right, before we get to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report, let's discuss this for just a moment. At the very heart of our democracy lies a principle that we hold sacred: free speech. It is the cornerstone that supports every freedom we cherish. But in today's digital age, discussions about our wealth, our rights, and our future, well, they're being silenced or overshadowed in mainstream narratives, leaving many folks feeling voiceless in conversations that are crucial to our financial independence and security. This is where Wealth Protection Research steps in, armed with a mission that's never been more critical. Wealth Protection Research is not a financial advisory firm. They're defenders of free speech, committed to giving a voice to the silenced. Now, they tirelessly seek out financial experts, including the voices that challenge prevailing narratives, especially as we navigate the uncertainty and chaos that is the 2024 election. Wealth Protection Research has created a 2024 Election Wealth Protection Report. This free report highlights the three best ideas for protecting and growing your money heading into this year's election. It contains ideas the mainstream media won't touch, and you can get it absolutely free when you text IDEAS to 76626 to claim your free copy. If you believe in the sanctity of free speech and the importance of financial freedom, then act now. Text IDEAS to 76626 to claim your free copy of this 2024 Election Protection Report. It's time to widen the scope of what we're told, to hear the ideas the establishment doesn't think you can handle, and to take control of our financial destinies. Text IDEAS to 76626 to claim your free copy. All right, so today's recidivist report, Pennsylvania. I actually came across a letter to the editor in Pennsylvania complaining about this sentence, saying, hey, you know, we aren't doing enough to get tough on gun violence. And this is a perfect example of this. And they cited this story. This is from the Daily Local News. The actual story was from July 15th, so it's been a couple of days, but I missed it originally. Pottstown woman admits possessing gun on Spring Ford area high school campus. Police alleged Jayana Moses handed her gun to a teenager involved in an altercation. Okay, so we've got somebody who brings a gun onto a school campus. Now, again, if there's no nefarious intent, I don't necessarily think that that should be a crime. In fact, if person is licensed to carry a concealed firearm, I think they should be able to do so. Handing that gun to a 15-year-old who's involved in a fight, on the other hand, well, that's when things get a little hinky, right? 23-year-old Jayana Nye Moses, sentenced in Montgomery County Court in Pennsylvania to 3 years of probation after she pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor charge of possessing a weapon on school property in connection with this incident that happened in February of last year. So it took a while for this case to actually be adjudicated. Judge Thomas Branca imposed the sentence as part of a plea deal, ordering Moses to forfeit the handgun to the county DA's office for destruction. Oh, see, they can say, well, we got a gun off the street. Yeah, you didn't do anything at all about the people who were criminally misusing that firearm. Witnesses reported that back on February 8th of last year, there was a verbal altercation between a couple of teenage boys in the parking lot outside of the gymnasium. An employee of the Pottstown School District reported that during that altercation, she observed a 15-year-old Pottstown boy brandish a firearm from his front sweatshirt pocket, quote, making it visible for anyone in the vicinity. Witness told police that the teenager was, quote, shouting, and during the commotion, he continued to pull the firearm from his pocket. Witness added that a large crowd was exiting the gymnasium, and the fact that someone had pulled a gun created a sense of panic in the crowd, and they fled, running away from the altercation. A second adult witness said that when she went to separate the teenagers, she heard Moses tell the 15-year-old boy, give me back the gun. Witness reported seeing the 15-year-old boy remove the pistol from the front of his sweatshirt pocket and then hand it over to the 23-year-old woman. Investigation determined that Moses did possess that semi-automatic handgun on the high school campus. Additionally, that she gave that gun to the 15-year-old boy who was a minor and not permitted to possess a firearm. In the arrest affidavit, the officer wrote, "Furthermore, at the time of the incident, a crowd was exiting the gymnasium into the parking lot, to which Deanna Moses' actions caused serious public inconvenience with reckless disregard for the safety of the public." But yet, she wasn't charged with reckless. Well, actually, I take that back. She was originally charged with recklessly endangering other persons, as well as being charged with endangering the welfare of children, as well as being charged with conspiracy and possessing a firearm with intent to employ it criminally. But each and every one of those charges were dropped in the plea deal. And Moses instead pleaded guilty to a single misdemeanor count of possessing a firearm in school property and got 3 years probation. The 15-year-old boy, well, we don't know what happened to him, but odds are he got the very same sentence or even a lesser sentence, less time on probation. And the individual in Pennsylvania who wrote the letter to the editor saying we are not doing enough to crack down on gun violence, absolutely right. But by going after legal, law-abiding gun owners who have not committed a crime, who have not endangered the public, we're not doing anything to reduce gun violence. The goal there is to reduce gun ownership. The goal there is to reduce our right to keep and bear arms. You want to reduce violent crime? Stop giving sweetheart plea deals to people who criminally misuse firearms. Something you will never hear Kamala Harris say, I'm guessing. All right, today's armed citizen story, also from Pennsylvania, also from the Philadelphia area, but Delaware County, where a suspect who was shot by his intended victim in a robbery outside of a bank gets time served with a plea deal. I suppose this is an armed citizen story as well as a recidivism report. So, yeah, unfortunately, again, not a lot of consequences for the individual who allegedly committed a pretty serious crime. 24-year-old Yamir Walters, also known as Jameer Coleman, entered open guilty pleas to robbery and conspiracy to robbery before Common Pleas Judge G. Michael Green in Montgomery County, Delaware County, excuse me. Sorry about that. And in return, he was sentenced to time served to up to 23 and a half months behind bars, all of which was immediately suspended in lieu of probation. His co-defendant is scheduled for a status conference before the same judge on August 12th on a single charge of conspiracy to receive stolen property. There were additional charges that were thrown out at a preliminary hearing. But Walters was facing some pretty serious charges. According to Delaware County Detective Michael Gray, police were dispatched to a bank on reports of shots fired. When they were on the way, they received reports of a vehicle that was leaving the scene as well as subjects running. When officers got there, they spoke with the victim, who said he was at the bank. He was getting ready to deposit almost $5,000 in cash. He had that cash in a red Wawa bag. And as he's walking up to the bank door, he was approached by a guy who grabbed the bag. The victim then pulled out a handgun, fired at the fleeing suspect, later identified as Walters. Officers found a blue Buick with New Jersey plates in front of a nearby grocery store with the front driver's door open, a bullet hole in the driver's side window. Also found blood in and around the vehicle and a bloody red recyclable Wawa shopping bag about 15 yards away. They ultimately found the alleged accomplice in a nearby home with the help of a canine officer. But Mr. Walters had shown up at a local hospital with a gunshot wound, and that was why and how he was identified. Now, in court, the prosecutor asked for an aggravated sentence. He noted that the standard sentence range for both of the offenses that Walters pleaded guilty to is anywhere between restorative sanctions, which is nothing at all, to 9 months behind bars. Grand theft, I would think, would be punishable by more than that, but you steal almost $5,000 from somebody. Now, apparently in Delaware County, 9 months is the most you could do, at least under the sentencing guidelines. So the prosecutor said, how about we do this instead, because of the serious nature of these charges, 12 to 24 months behind bars. Walters needs to pay back the $4,900 that he stole. He needs to stay away from the bank in question. He needs to forfeit items that were seized during the investigation. Walter's attorney, on the other hand, asked for a sentence of time served, dating back to Walter's arrest on December 1st. He said that Walter has a daughter two younger siblings. He was taking classes at Rutgers Camden before he was arrested. He wants to start a career as a truck driver. He said Walters made a mistake, but he has the opportunity now to move away from this kind of behavior. Sure, but there should still be consequences for that type of behavior. Because otherwise, if Mr. Walters gets in a jam at some point in the future, he may think to himself, you know what? I hate to do it, but I got away with it last time. I guess I could try to get away with it again. It would be good if we didn't have those thoughts running through his head in the future. So the judge, unfortunately, in essence, sided with the defense. Time served to 23 and a half months behind bars, but basically suspended to 5 years probation. And the judge said that Walters may petition the court to terminate probation after 3 years if there are no new criminal cases or the violation. Now, he was ordered to make restitution. In other words, he has to give back the money he stole. He has to stay away from the bank, has to provide a DNA sample to state police, and he has to forfeit the seized items. But yeah, no prison time for robbing a man of almost $5,000 cash. I guess the only real punishment was the injuries that he received from the victim there. Finally, today, in the right place, at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing, a off-duty firefighter in North Carolina who leapt into the Cape Fear River to save a man from drowning the other day. A very scary situation that thankfully had a happy ending. This was a Saturday night. Steve Hunt, he's a captain with the New Hanover County Fire Department. He says he was just doing his job, even though he wasn't on duty when this happened. He said he was near the river, and he saw that there was a guy who was fighting for his life. And he had to step in. He said there was no hesitation. It was an instinct. I'm calling for him to reach for my hand, and he's not swimming good at all. His head's going under, and then it would just get up for a moment, and then it would go under. He said at first the man did not want to be saved. As Hunt was in the water and trying to take him back to shore, he said, let me go. Just let me go. I can't go. Just let me go. I want to die. But Hunt said, no, it's not going to happen. He said, I was trying to keep him focused on anything else other than, you know, the bad stuff. I was like, hey, man, I know it's kind of a weird time, but look at the battleship, how cool it looks. We got a view here that most people don't get to have. He said it was kind of a peaceful moment in this weird chaos. Hunt's girlfriend, Heather Miller, was there as well. She saw this whole thing happen. She said when he jumped into the water, she was terrified, but she wasn't surprised. She said, I'd expect nothing less. And I feel like anything that comes up where somebody needs help, he's a given. It's not a question. It's just instinct. And though she was scared at the time, she says she's glad that he intervened. She said that man was obviously not in a good place that night. If other people can read that story and find themselves asking, does my life matter? Yes, it does matter. So much so that a stranger would risk their own. WECT, which reported on Hunt's life-saving effort, says that out of respect, they have not tried to identify the man who was treated on the scene, which is nice to see. But Steve Hunt, in the right place, at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing to save a man in need. Well, we thank you for your very good deed, hopefully a life-changing need, and hopefully that individual who is ready to end it all has a new perspective and is getting the help so that he can go forward and remain a presence in the lives of people who he probably doesn't even realize the impact that he's had. But I guarantee you that that individual is wanted, is needed, and should be here for as long as possible. So Steve Hunt, thank you for helping to make that happen. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam & Company. I want to thank you again for joining us here on the program. Tomorrow, we're going to do something new. I think we're going to have the most guests ever on a Cam & Company. I think we have a half dozen firearms instructors from Massachusetts. I think mostly the Boston area, but I got to thank Nolan Howard from 617 Defense. He reached out to me a few days ago and said, hey, you know, this gun control bill is bad news. And I said, well, you want to come on and talk about it? He said, yeah. Can I invite a couple of friends? I said, sure. And we got a lot of folks who are willing to and eager to sound off about what this new gun control law will mean for would-be gun owners, firearms instructors in the state of Massachusetts. Again, that's coming up on Wednesday On Thursday, we'll be talking with Larry Keene from the National Shooting Sports Foundation. I'm sure we'll be talking about Kamala Harris, but we have some other stuff to discuss as well. So we will see you back here tomorrow. Also, don't forget, Wednesdays, we do our VIP Gold Live Chat with Hot Air's Ed Morrissey. You can be a part of that. All you have to do is go to BearingArms.com/subscribe, use the promo code SAVEAMERICA, and you can get a significant discount on your VIP or VIP Gold membership. I would encourage you to do the VIP Gold membership, because not only do you get exclusive content at Bearing Arms, you'll get it at Town Hall, Hot Air, Twitchy, PJ Media, all of the Town Hall Media family of websites. It is a great savings when you use that promo code SAVEAMERICA. So check it out, BearingArms.com/subscribe. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.